When my daughter was a certain age, she would have birthday slumber parties in which one of the activities that you might witness was a circle of girls, each sitting behind the other, braiding the hair of the girl in front of her. Can you picture that? Perhaps you were one of those girls yourself at one time. There was a time when my beard was long enough to braid, and a time that actually coincided with the time when my daughter was interested in doing just that. And she would come up to me and say, "Daddy, let me braid your beard." And sometimes she would even braid little beads and stuff into my beard. And I would come out looking a little bit like Captain Jack Sparrow. Needless to say, I would wait until she was out of sight, and I would quickly unweave my beard. And when that particular period of her development was over, I heaved something of a sigh of relief and promptly shortened my beard. A simple braid has three strands, groups of hair. Is that right? Like, if I say a strand of hair, that doesn't mean one hair. It means a group of hair, right? A strand, three strands of hair. And one strand is lifted over the center strand, and then the strand on the other side, I think, moves over, and so on and so forth. You're all familiar with this. Before long, the three strands of hair are woven into a single braid. Why am I talking about braiding hair? I find it helpful to talk about braiding because I find that there are three concerns that are vying for my attention this morning. So if I can, I want to braid those three strands into a short little message for you. The first strand is, of course, the fact that today is New Year's Day. New Year's Day is a day of beginnings. It is a day when we find ourselves looking forward. It is a day when some of us may make resolutions for this new time in our lives. And it's nice on such a day of forward looking to have an optimistic feeling. The second strand this morning is, of course, the scripture lesson that we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew. And unfortunately, as is often the case with the gospel, it is not proving terribly cooperative. Let me put it this way. If I wanted to find an optimistic set of verses from the gospel to start the new year with, this would not be it. Welcome to the conundrum that has been plaguing me all week. I want to be optimistic, but the gospel's making it a little bit difficult for me. But perhaps the third strand of hair in this morning's braid may help. The third concern that is vying for my attention this morning is the fact that today is the first Sunday of the month, and for that reason, it is Communion Sunday. The bulletin this morning does not call this part of the service the sermon. It calls it the communion meditation. And I think that's great. I think that Holy Communion is an important part of our religion. And so I think it's worth spending at least some time every month meditating on its meaning in our religious life and in our community. There is a new calendar hanging in my kitchen today. I picked it up from the place where I buy hams. It's a calendar with a pig on each month. It's quite a charming calendar. It goes from January to December. Is there a new calendar in your kitchen this morning? I imagine there is. out there in the world, New Year's Day marks the beginning of a 12-month calendar. And of course, here in the church, that is also the case, but we have an additional calendar that we also observe here in the church, and that is the calendar of the church seasons, right? The calendar of the church seasons follows the life of Jesus Christ, and so it begins with the beginning, actually before the beginning of Jesus, which means it starts with Advent, which is the anticipation of Jesus, and that season, of course, begins in November, and as many of you will remember, the beginning of Advent was also the beginning of my settled ministry here at the United Church of Jaffrey, a joyous day indeed for me, and I hope for you too. So it may be that New Year's Day in the world is the beginning. Here in the church, we find ourselves kind of in a transitional moment between Advent and Christmastide, the transition from a season of anticipation to a season in which the story of Jesus' life really begins in earnest, and it begins in earnest. Here we come to the second strand of today's braid, and that is the uncooperative scripture lesson that I mentioned earlier from this Gospel of Matthew. Why is it uncooperative? Well, it's not particularly optimistic. In this passage, which tells the first thing that happens after Jesus is born, no sooner do the wise men go away than Joseph and Mary and the newborn Jesus are compelled to flee for their lives. An angel of the Lord, it reads, the text reads, appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." From the moment of his birth, before he even says or does anything, Jesus is already identified to be a threat to the powerful. Herod, who is the Roman client king of Judea, so he's not actually Roman, but he's a client king of the Romans in Judea, he has been tipped off by the Magi, the three kings, that the new king of the Jews has been born. And fearing for his position of power, Herod makes a horrifying decision. The text reads that when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. In Christian tradition, then, the first thing that happens in Jesus' life is that he and his family are forced to flee across borders from one Middle Eastern country to another in order to avoid a cataclysm of violence. Does that sound familiar? According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, over 361,000 refugees, the majority of whom were Syrians fleeing the bloody civil war in that country, attempted the dangerous passage across the Mediterranean in 2016. More than 5,000 of those refugees didn't make it. As we move into a new year and we listen to our Holy Scripture, we hear a story about our Savior and this Messiah, this Jesus Christ, is in the same position, fleeing for his life, as the untold thousands of migrants who, even as we speak, are fleeing from horrifying violence. A humanitarian crisis of immense proportions is happening right now in Syria. The website for the International Medical Corps calls the Syrian civil war the 21st century's worst crisis. It goes on to say that Syria's civil war is in its fifth year with no end in sight. The conflict has claimed an estimated 250,000 lives and has driven over 4.8 million Syrians to take refuge in neighboring countries. An estimated 6.1 million additional civilians have been displaced within Syria. We don't have to try very hard to find the contemporary relevance of our New Year's passage from the Gospel according to Matthew. This Jesus, whose life we celebrate, this Christ in whom we trust and we call divine, began his life as a migrant fleeing violence. What does this mean for us today? This is a question that arises from the first two strands of our meditation. I don't think that there is an easy answer to this question. In fact, I think there is no easy answer to these questions. However, in closing, I would like to bring your attention to the third strand of our braid, the fact that this Sunday is Communion Sunday. Later in today's service, we will celebrate communion, and I will tell again the story of how Jesus shared a final meal with his disciples and how during that meal, he told his followers two things: remember and love. Remember and love. As often as you do these things, Jesus says, do them in remembrance of me. And in the Gospel of John, he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. To remember and to love. This is what we do when we take our place at Christ's table. We remember and we love. And remember this, Christ was not a Roman client king. Christ was not a Roman emperor. Christ was most certainly not Bashar al-Assad. Christ was a migrant fleeing violence. Let us remember this and love. Remembering this will help us move into the new year with humility, Christian humility. Remembering this will help our small church in the hills of New Hampshire live out our mission to grow our Christian faith through acts of love towards all. Amen.